Glory to Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, we hear the story of the Good Samaritan. And it's a story most of us have heard over and over, even if we didn't grow up in the church, right? Like, this is pervasive in Western culture. We all know this story. And a lawyer asks Jesus what to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus asks him what the law says. And he answers correctly. And Jesus basically tells him, so you already know. It's kind of like when you're sitting in class and somebody asks the teacher a question and the teacher's like, if you'd read the textbook assignment last night, you'd know the answer to that. So St. Luke indicates that the lawyer is maybe a little bit embarrassed, right? There's no new information exchanged, and he says that the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, asks Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And we've heard a lot of homilies on that story, but I kind of want to focus on this lawyer. In the first place, it takes kind of an assertive person to stand up and ask a question, right? And most students are super happy to just sit back and let somebody else do that, right? And maybe get embarrassed by the teacher saying, if you'd read the assignment, you'd know the answer. So they're also happy to sit back and laugh at the guy who does ask that question. So first of all, this lawyer is willing to be that guy. But instead of just letting it go when Jesus says that to him, he pushes back. He insists. He says, who is my neighbor? Now, I don't love it that St. Luke attributes motive here, because I think St. Luke should stay in his own lane, right? I don't know. And it's super unsympathetic to say wanting to justify himself, right? Like, I have a lot of sympathy for this lawyer, because for one thing, this is kind of the kind of student that I was, a little bit too assertive for my own good, and maybe not totally knowing when to quit. But sometimes not knowing when to quit is a virtue. At least I think Jesus thought so, because he didn't tell him to sit down and stop bothering me. He responds with this great parable, which becomes one of the most significant stories in Western culture. And maybe at that point, the students who didn't ask the question are kind of questioning their own timidity, because this lawyer would not let him off with a pat answer, and Jesus honored that. This lawyer is kind of one of those hidden gems in the gospel. He's a little sliver of contention that irritates our sense of propriety. If you look closely, the Bible is kind of full of little upsets to the picture of God that we build in our own mind. We're kind of the students that sit back and judge him for asking a dumb question, right? And St. Luke enables us a little, because he indicates that this guy was kind of trying to justify himself. And he makes him look a little pathetic and maybe not really like someone you'd want to be. But I get the sense that the lawyer looks straight at Jesus and says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus looks straight back at him, and he answers. In Western Christianity, the picture that we form in our minds of what the ideal spiritual person looks like is someone who's meek. We hear, blessed are the meek. And I think Americans have an idea of what meek looks like that isn't totally accurate. Boldness and assertiveness in our minds are the opposite of meekness, right? It may not be the exact definition of meek in the dictionary, but I think to Americans, harsh synonyms for meek are pushover and doormat, which is, by the way, totally not what the church tells us meekness means. But in a culture that favors power and even aggression, meek looks passive to us. And very few saints have been meek in the sense of passivity. With this lawyer, Jesus engages, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. I am not a passive person, not by a long shot. And in my time as a Christian, I have really tried to shoehorn myself into what Americans think of as meek, and I'm just bad at it. It doesn't look good on me, it doesn't fit well, and I get so awkward about it that honestly, I get a little weird and angry when I try to do it. At my alma mater, which is Western Oregon University, on all four floors of the humanities building, there are no rollerblading signs. I'm the reason why they're there. I was also the first person to ignore them, by the way, because in my 20s, my motto was basically, if it's not explicitly forbidden, you should definitely do it. And I did. And I mentioned that I was sometimes assertive to the point of embarrassing myself and often too dumb to know when to quit. So this is a prime example. But With the benefit of age, I think I've reined it in a little, but in general, I'm still somewhat bold. So when in this story, it feels like Jesus affirms this lawyer's boldness, I kind of hang on to that. And this was not lost on the saints either. One of my favorite saints, St. Olga Velasca, she was canonized this last week in the OCA. Woo! Right? Like, I was really happy about this. But she was someone who fits the church's definition of meekness, which is someone who was fully in control of her own power, right? She is famous for having, she had 13 children, and she was famous for never yelling. Her daughter, her own daughter, this is who this comes from, she never yelled at her children. And that's a lot of control of your power, I think. She also stood up for women in her village who had been abused. So she had courage and she had boldness. And this is typical of the saints. Martyrs don't become martyrs by being passive. And St. Herman of Alaska didn't stand up to Russian traders on behalf of Alaskan villagers by being a coward, right? God affirms boldness. Now, boldness itself is not necessarily a virtue. It takes boldness to rollerblade through a college humanities building when you know they probably didn't put the signs up because they thought that they didn't need to, and you're just going to show them that that was a gross oversight. In the book of Acts, Saul is most definitely doing the wrong thing, and he's doing it with passion and zeal. He's killing Christians because he believes that defaming Judaism was wrong. Instead of hitting him with a lightning bolt, Christ turned him around and made him one of the greatest saints in Christendom. Now, this is also why in the church we have spiritual fathers and mothers to stop us from doing things that we may spend the rest of our lives repenting of, right? But recognizing that even misdirected boldness can be honored by God is kind of a check against cowardice that we like to pretend is meekness, right? I want to point out here, too, that the lawyer was bold and direct with Christ himself. Who is my neighbor? He asks. And just we don't get the idea that there was any hesitation here. It verges on confrontational. This lawyer probably didn't know he was being lightly confrontational with God himself, but it kind of doesn't matter. Jesus knew that he was God. Now, if he had been Zeus or Odin, what would have happened here? If you're familiar with classical mythology, you know if he was Zeus, he probably would have beamed him in the head with a golden apple for being too uppity, right? Pagan gods would have put this guy in his place. But Jesus tells him a story. This flies in the face of the picture of God that I grew up with. The God I grew up with was much more like Zeus or Odin, super judgmental, prone to smiting people, making his list and checking it twice. And you better hope you didn't step out of line, because at best, hell was waiting, and at worst, he might send you a plague in the meantime. I think in American Christianity, this is not uncommon. When I was in my 20s, I decided I couldn't believe in that God anymore. I said I was an atheist, but I still believed in God. I was actually kind of even afraid that he was angry with me for not believing in him. But I decided if I really couldn't do anything right in his eyes, that I was just going to move on and start doing what I thought was right. And it turns out that years later, when I met Christ in the church, he didn't believe in that God either. More precisely, he wasn't that God. It felt bold to reject the false God that I believed in my 20s. But it turned out that I was rejecting an idol, and I was doing exactly the right thing. So let's come back again to this lawyer and Jesus' positive response to him. What should we take away from this? First, that meekness and passivity are not the same thing. St. John Chrysostom says, meekness is an unchangeable state of mind which remains the same in honor and dishonor. Meekness is the rock overlooking the sea of irritability which breaks all the waves that dash against it, remaining itself unmoved. So this lawyer's boldness in relentlessly questioning Jesus does not mean that he lacks virtue. He lacks passivity. He's not a pushover. Instead, he's insisting on an answer, and Jesus honors that. Obviously, Jesus can work with that. Second, boldness can absolutely be a virtue when directed by the Holy Spirit, and we see that in the saints repeatedly. Going back to St. John Chrysostom again, he tells us, sin makes man a coward, but life in the truth of Christ makes him bold. There is a boldness that is not represented by rollerblading in forbidden areas. There is a boldness represented by holiness and directed by the Holy Spirit. there is a boldness that drives us forward to what is right, even when we feel beset by risk. There is a boldness that drives us forward to pursue the knowledge of God, even when we feel incredibly vulnerable doing it. You can take the bull by the horns like this lawyer did, even if it turns out that the bull is God. One of my favorite stories of St. Basil the Great is when he stood against the Arian heresy and faced the Eparch Modestus, who was an Arian. And Modestus was backed by the Emperor Valens, throws all these threats of torture at St. Basil. Torment and torture and exile and death. And St. Basil basically says, do your worst. And Modestus is like, no one talks to me like that. Who talks to me like that? You're not talking to me like that. And St. Basil says, I guess you've never met a Christian bishop before. If you're someone who tends towards boldness and relentlessness, Christ has a place for you. Don't shoehorn yourself into passivity. That isn't virtue. Don't assume that being virtuous means making yourself small. Some people have a gift for being unobtrusive and contemplative and quiet, and those are great gifts, but they are not synonymous with meekness. Meekness is a different thing. Meekness is control of power, and if you're particularly bold and assertive, you may have a lot of power to control, and you may be very meek without being a bit quiet or unobtrusive. You can be both meek and bold at the same time.